Okay, we're beginning chapter 21 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, called The Eye of the Snake. Hermione plowed her way back to Hagrid's cabin through 2 feet of snow on Monday. Harry and Ron wanted to go with her, but their mountain of homework had reached an alarming height again, so they grudgingly remained in the common room, trying to ignore the gleeful shouts drifting up from the grounds outside, where students were enjoying themselves, skating on the frozen lake, tobogganing, and worst of all, bewitching snowballs to zoom up to Gryffindor Tower and rap hard on the windows. "Oh," bellowed Ron, finally losing patience, and sticking his head out the window. "I am a prefect, and if one more snowball hits this window..." Ouch! He withdrew his head sharply, his face covered in snow. Who do you think it was?
Fred and George.
"It's Fred and George," he said bitterly, slamming the window behind him. "Gits." Hermione returned from Hagrid's just before lunch, shivering slightly, her robes damp to the knees. "So," said Ron, looking up when she entered, "got all his lessons planned for him?" "Well, I tried," she said dully, sinking into a chair beside Harry. She pulled out her wand and gave it a complicated little wave so that hot air streamed out of the tip. She then pointed at her robes, which began to steam as they dried out. "He wasn't even there when I arrived. I was knocking for at least half an hour. And then he came stomping out of the forest." Harry groaned. The Forbidden Forest was teeming with the kind of creatures most likely to get Hagrid the sack. "What's he keeping in there, did he say?" said Harry. "No," said Hermione miserably. "He says he wants them to be surprised. I tried to explain about Umbridge, but he just doesn't get it. He kept saying nobody in their right minds would rather study gnarls than chimeras. Oh, I don't think he's got a chimera," he added. She added, at the appalled look on Harry and Ron's face. "But that's not for lack of trying, from what he has said about how hard it is to get eggs. I don't know how many times I've told him he'd be better off following Grubbly Blink's plan. I honestly don't think he listened to half of what I said. He's in a bit of a funny mood, you know. He still won't say how he got all those injuries." Hagrid's reappearance at the staff table at breakfast the next day was not greeted with enthusiasm from all students. Some, like Fred, George, and Lee, roared with delight and sprinted up the aisle between the Gryffindor and Hufflepuff tables to wring Hagrid's enormous hand. Others, like Parvati and Lavender, exchanged gloomy looks and shook their heads. Harry knew that many of them preferred Professor Grubblyplank's lessons, and the worst of it was that the very small, unbiased part of him knew that they had a good reason. Grubblyplank's idea of an interesting class was not one where there was a risk that somebody might have their head ripped off. It was with a certain amount of apprehension that Harry, Ron, and Hermione headed down to Hagrid's on Tuesday, heavily muffled against the cold. Harry was worried, not only about what Hagrid might have done to teach them, but also about how the rest of the class, particularly Malfoy and his cronies, would behave if Umbridge was watching them. However, the High Inquisitor was nowhere to be seen as they struggled through the snow toward Hagrid, who stood waiting for them on the edge of the forest. He did not present a reassuring sight. The bruises that had been purple on Saturday night were now tinged with green and yellow, and some of his cuts seemed to be bleeding. Harry couldn't understand this. Had Hagrid perhaps been attacked by some creature whose venom prevented the wounds it inflicted from healing? As though to complete the ominous picture, Hagrid was carrying what looked like half of a dead cow over his shoulder. "We're working in here today," Hagrid called happily to the approaching students, jerking his head back at the dark trees behind him. "A bit more sheltered. Anyway, they prefer the dark." "What prefers the dark?" Harry heard Malfoy say sharply to Crabbe and Goyle, a trace of panic in his voice. "What did he say prefers the dark? Did you hear?" Harry remembered the only occasion on which Malfoy had entered the forest before now. He had not been very brave then, either. He smiled to himself. After the Quidditch match, anything that caused Malfoy discomfort was all right with him. "Ready?" said Hagrid happily, looking around at the class. "Right, well, I've been saving a trip into the forest for the fifth year. Thought we'd go and see these creatures in their natural habitat. Now, what we're studying today is pretty rare. I reckon I'm probably the only person in Britain who's managed to train them." "Are you sure they're trained, are you?" Malfoy said, the panic in his voice more pronounced now. Only wouldn't be the first time you brought wild stuff to class, would it? The Slytherins murmured agreement, and a few Gryffindors looked as though they thought Malfoy had a fair point. Of course they're trained, said Hagrid, scowling, and hoisting the dead cow a little higher on his shoulder. So what's happened to your face, then? Demanded Malfoy. Mind your own business, said Hagrid angrily. Now, if you've finished asking stupid questions, follow me. He turned and strode straight into the forest. Nobody seemed disposed to follow. Harry glanced at Ron and Hermione, who sighed but nodded, and the three of them set off after Hagrid, leading the rest of the class. They walked for about 10 minutes until they reached a place where the trees stood so closely together that it was as dark as twilight, and there was no snow on the ground at all. Hagrid deposited his half of a cow with a grunt on the ground, stepped back, and turned to face his class again, most of whom were creeping toward him from tree to tree, peering around nervously as though expecting to be set upon at any moment. Gather round, said Hagrid encouragingly. Now they'll be attracted by the smell of the meat, but I'm going to give them a call anyway, because they'll like to know it's me. He turned, shook his shaggy head to get the hair out of his face, and gave an odd shrieking cry that echoed through the dark trees like some call of a monstrous bird. Nobody laughed. Most of them looked too scared to give a sound. Hagrid continued to give the shrieking cry. A minute passed in which the class continued to peer nervously over their shoulders and around the trees for a first glimpse of whatever it was that was coming. And then Hagrid shook his hair back for a third time, expanded his enormous chest. Harry nudged Ron and pointed to the black space between two gnarled yew trees. A pair of blank, white, shining eyes were growing larger through the gloom, and a moment later the dragonish face, neck, and then skeletal body of a great blacked winged horse emerged from the darkness. It looked around at the class for a few seconds, swishing its long black tail, and then bowed its head and began to tear flesh from the dead cow with its pointed fangs. A great wave of relief broke over Harry. Here at last was proof that he had not imagined these creatures, that they were real. Hagrid knew about them too. He looked eagerly at Ron, but Ron was still staring around into the trees, and after a few seconds he whispered, "Why doesn't Hagrid call again?" Most of the rest of the class were wearing expressions as confused and nervously expectant as Ron's, and were still gazing everywhere but at the horse standing in front of them. There were only two other people who seemed to be able to see them. A stringy Slytherin boy standing just behind Goyle was watching the horse eating with an expression of great distaste on his face, and Neville, whose eyes were following the swishing progress of the long black tail. "Oh, and here comes another one," Hagrid said proudly, as a second black horse appeared out of the dark trees, folded its leathery wings closer to its body, and dipped its head to gorge on the meat. "Now put your hand up. Who can see him?" Immensely pleased to feel that he was going to at last understand the mystery of the horses, Harry raised his hand. Hagrid nodded at him. Yeah, I knew you'd be able to see him, Harry, he said seriously. You too, Neville, eh? And, excuse me, said Malfoy in a sneering voice, but what exactly are we supposed to be seeing? For answer, Hagrid pointed at the cow carcass on the ground. The whole class stared at it for a few seconds, and then several people gasped and Parvati squealed. Harry understood why. Bits of flesh stripping themselves away from the horse, from the bones, and vanishing into thin air had to look very odd indeed. "What's doing it?" Parvati demanded in a terrified voice, retreating behind the nearest tree. "What's eating it?" "Thestrals," said Hagrid proudly, and Hermione gave a soft "oh" of comprehension at Harry's shoulder. "Hogwarts has got a whole herd of them in here. Now who knows? "But they're really, really unlucky," interrupted Parvati, looking alarmed. "They're supposed to bring all sorts of horrible misfortune on people who see them. Professor Trelawney told me once." "Oh, no, Hagrid chuckled. "That's just superstition. That is, they aren't unlucky. They're dead clever and useful. Of course, this lot doesn't get a lot of work. It's mainly just pulling the school carriages unless Dumbledore's taking a long journey. You don't want to apparate. Now, here's a couple, look." Two more horses came quietly out of the trees, one of them passing very close to Parvati, who shivered and pressed herself closer to the tree, saying, "I think I felt something. I think it's near me." "Don't worry, it won't hurt you," said Hagrid patiently. "Right now, who can tell me why some of you can see him and some of you can't?" Hermione raised her hand. "Come on, then," said Hagrid, beaming at her. "The only people who can see Thestrals," she said, "are people who have seen death." "That's exactly right," said Hagrid solemnly. 10 points for Gryffindor. "Now, Thestrals." "Mm-hmm." Professor Umbridge had just arrived. I think we'll stop there. Sorry. Hope you like that, my kitten. You're a sweet kitty boy. Sleep well. Have a nice nap. I love you so much.